Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Willing.
That would be a little weird. But I am willing to go to Strange Brew and get something. I'm not coffee, probably, but at the very least, I will go to Churn and Spoon and get me a nice milkshake.
I mean, I'm with you on that, 100%. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com is the place to find the coffee to be shipped right to your door, and you can enjoy it each and every morning.
And who knows, you might see Big Daddy in there.
I mean, that makes it worth the trip alone, in my opinion.
It's true.
Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. When we signed on with Pip Printing, when they came on as a sponsor, they gave me this this flyer here. And I can't show it to you because this is an audio medium. But when you see, you know, if you call this number, if you call Cam Baker at 601-499-5216 and say, hey, send me one of these that you sent Brian Haydad. And you can see for yourself not only the number of products that are available, but the quality of them. You're gonna that alone would get you to do business with Pip Printing and Signs. But when we're talking about also being able to make yourself a Bulldog Initiative business without spending an extra dime of your own money, that's the real difference maker for me. So again, that number is 601-499-5216. You talk to Cam Baker, tell him you heard about him on Thunder and Lightning, and he'll do the rest. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Oh, and you are looking for it. It's time to start a new era. I'm already mad here, by the way. With the SEC tweeted out of this thing, it says, oh, now it's official. Still got the banner M on there. Get with the freaking program, guys.
What? I mean, what are we doing here?
The Southeast, Sankey, Chuck
There's
Dunlap.
There's got to be a memo sent out.
Chuck Dunlap, Winston County, that's your boy. Get on with him. Tell him what's going on here.
We're going to have to talk to Chuck. I mean, Chuck, I know that Chuck is up to date on the logo situation, too. I know he understands. But we've got to get the banner M off of everything SEC related as soon as possible. I'll make some phone calls. We'll see what happens here.
Very good. In between that then and now, you need to head to College Corner and grab a new polo with the state script on it. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, flowed by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. I don't know where I am for a second there. Restaurant Tyler is not open right now. That means you need to go to Ben 612. Ben 612, a unique, it's maybe the most one of the most Starkville places. All right? I mean, everybody talks about going to the Ben. You know, everybody talks about it. It's such a great spot. It's right there in the middle of the Cotton District. It's a fantastic place to people watch, but it's also just a fantastic place to go eat. They have a lunch menu that it's different. There's stuff you can't get anywhere else. Great sandwiches, burgers, pizzas, and, of course, the cheese fries. That's why Starkville is the cheese fry capital of the world. It's because of the good work being done at Ben 612. So if you want somewhere different for lunch, I promise you haven't thought about going to Ben 612 recently. You need to make that happen. Head over to the Ben for lunch today. Ben 612 in the heart of the Cotton District. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout the central Mississippi area. So that means if you live in central Mississippi, if you live near Willing, there's probably a location near you. Go to their website, PriorityOneBank.com. Find the location nearest you, but also find out about all the services they offer to help you with your money. You did the hard work. You got the money to the bank. Let the bank take it from there. Let Priority One show you how to invest, how to manage your money, and to build your savings and your portfolio for years to come. Again, the website is PriorityOneBank.com. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. I'll talk about today on a Tuesday. We got some baseball news that broke, which is, first off, always happy to see news break because that means we got something to talk about. We've got an SEC preview a little later in the show. We'll hit on the Missouri Tigers. Should be a really good team this year. But we're going to start. You know, we're trying to be balanced here. You know, people are like, oh, Brian and Robbie, they're so negative. Oh, Brian and Robbie, they don't know what they're talking about. Oh, Brian and Robbie, they're so handsome. But what we
trying who to says do? That? Who said that?
Our wives say that, don't they?
Did they?
At least two other women that I know.
Jennifer didn't say that.
About you, she did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I know my wife didn't say that about either of us.
No, she did. I've heard her talk about what a handsome man you are. Plus, John Sokoloff calls you handsome all the time.
That's just him being nice. It's just part of his vernacular at this point.
He's from the North. What does he know about being nice?
Yeah, especially from where he is from.
It's like the rudest people on the earth. It's like them,
which
and the
is
French.
It's kind of strange because he is like
such a nice
one
guy.
Of the nicest guys I know. Yeah. But then we meet people from around that area, and I'm like, how did you come from this place? It makes no sense.
Well, here we are. So I thought, because yesterday we were talking about some players who maybe haven't gotten the job done yet, and we're trying to figure out how that's going to go. Let's talk about some guys that we haven't seen really play much yet or haven't seen a whole lot of, but we feel like they could be about to have a big breakout season. The guys that I think could surprise Mississippi State fans, guys that I think by the end of the year we could be talking about them quite a bit. So, you know, we're going to be a little more positive today. Maybe today they won't be like, hey, look at those idiots. So,
and a PSA,
yeah.
If I use the wrong name on something, it's just a slip of the tongue, guys. It's not – I didn't think that Michael O'Brien was Mississippi State's backup quarterback. That was just – we cover, like, what would you say, like 200 athletes routinely?
Easily.
I mean, in sports.
Yeah.
And they come and go, and my brain is scrambled at this point. Can you really blame me? If I came to somebody's work and I put a microphone in front of them and I said, we're just going to talk. You don't have anything in front of you to talk about. You don't have any rosters in front of you. You don't have any schedules. Every now and then, we might get something wrong. I might get somebody's eligibility wrong. I might get somebody's name wrong. It's okay. I promise you it's okay. We don't even plan half of these podcasts. You just start talking, and I just start talking right with you. So sometimes some things are said that are wrong, and especially if they're coming from you and I.
Mm-hmm.
So calm down.
All right, then. So.
All right, we good?
Yeah, are you okay there? You getting all good? Out?
Everybody good?
I think we're good. I think we're good.
What are you doing?
All right, very good.
What is this? We good?
We're good. Oh, well. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
You at home? All right, then. So we got some players here that I don't have any kind of resume for, other than their recruiting profile or maybe their transfers, whatever. But I think they're due for big years. And here's the first one, Robbie. And this is a guy that, you know, Devon Booth came in, people are quick to anoint him as the starting running back, and I think he will be. But I think this is very much going to be a job by committee. And you remember at Ole Miss, you know, Ely was probably the number one guy on the depth chart, but the best guy on that backfield was Snoop Connor. I think there's a possibility that Booth could be the number one guy on the depth chart, but that Johnny Daniels could be the guy who everybody's like, man, when he's in the game, good things happen for Mississippi State. I feel like he was going to be that guy a little bit anyway. He got injured during the spring, and I think that sort of delayed him a little bit. You didn't see as much of him in the spring game as maybe you would have liked. But I really like this guy, and I've gone back and I've watched I know it's a highlight video, I know, but I mean,
but it's just highlights.
Well, here's the thing about a highlight video. If you have a bad highlight video, if your highlight video is not good, then that's a good sign indicator. If you got a highlight video where the highlights look good, well, then that means that's usually a good sign. So I like Daniels. I think he can be that kind of all-around back that this offense is going to need. I see Booth. I don't know that Booth is the every-down back, but he can be, you know, first and second. And yeah, I think he can play a big role on third, but I don't know that he's every down. Kevon Lee, I don't think, is a good third down option. I think Daniels might be the best all-around guy of the three of these guys. Now, all three of them are unproven at this level. There's no question about that. I mean, State is going into this with a lot of hopefulness in the backfield. They've got some guys they feel are talented, but, I mean, Kevon Lee's probably the most proven guy, and because he rushed for almost 600 yards 2 years ago or 3 years ago at Penn State. It's been a while since he's done anything. Daniels, to me, I just, you know, the vibe that I got from him watching the highlight, and I've seen this name associated with him a couple times, is Vic Ballard. Just a solid every down back who can do all the little things right. I think Daniels could be a key piece for Mississippi State this year.
Yeah, for sure. The State's had some good junior college running backs over the years, sure. And I think this is a guy that I still have high hopes for Pittman helping Mississippi State out and doing some good things. He showed some signs last year. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to be a guy that's probably competing for the starting job. I think Johnny Daniels is probably going to move into that role, but it's just become a much more well-rounded group when you look at it. And it looks a lot different now when you add a Devon Booth, because he's kind of your home run hitting back that I think this offense really needs. I mean, you look at the running backs that have come through in this offense at Tennessee and Oklahoma and Ole Miss and UCF. They have guys like Johnny Daniels, which is not really a, you know, and I would say like a grinder type back. He's more of a well-balanced running back. When you look at the film, he can do a lot of different things. It's not mm-hmm. a guy that I think is going to really be pigeonholed to one style.
Right.
So I'm really intrigued to see him run. I just didn't see any of it in the spring. So I'm excited to see what he looks like in the fall when he gets kind of ingrained in the offense and they let him loose a little bit. I think this is going to be your guy that is finishing possessions, scoring. He's probably a guy that I could easily see leading the team in touchdowns. You know, finishing inside the 10-yard line, inside the 5, I think that's probably going to be your guy. And I think Devon Booth, to me, is the guy that can hit the big plays, that can break off the, you know, 10, 20-yard runs. I don't think that Johnny Daniels is incapable of doing that. But I think he's going to be a guy that you can probably tote the mail with a little more than the other guys at this point. So, yeah, I could totally see him kind of breaking out this year for Mississippi State in this offense.
I'm pretty confident in that pick. I'm very, very confident in this next, and that's Sadu Traore. This offense, when it's clicking and when it's at its best, the tight end position is a big-time piece. You know, Ole Miss, his first year, Levy's first year there, Kenny Yeboah was a huge piece for them. This last year at Ole Miss, we all saw what Caden Priestcorn was able to give the Rebels. The way this offense is set up, the running game is such a big piece, and then there's so much focus on the wide receivers getting down the field that when things are clicking for this offense, the tight end is just open. And when I say open, I mean open. Think back to the Egg Bowl and the touchdown that kind of broke the game open for Ole Miss. The little play-action pass, and nobody's covering Caden Priestcorn, and he just walks it into the end zone. That's the kind of situations this offense can create for the tight end position. And Traore is a guy, you know, super athlete, could probably play wide receiver if they wanted to do that. But putting him at tight end, he should be a mismatch for almost any linebacker that tries to go one-on-one with him from a speed perspective. But he's also going to be a mismatch for DBs because he's just going to be able to out-physical those guys. There's been a lot of talk about Kelly Akari, a lot of talk about Kevin Coleman. I know you want to talk about him a little bit later. But I think Sadu Traore has a chance to be a huge, huge piece for this offense and be a guy that we're talking about as a potential NFL guy by the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I can't help but think of how he would have helped the offense last year. I don't think he would have made it, you know, exceptional from what it was. But
no,
just having a guy that could go out there and make plays for you tight end, would have helped a lot. They didn't have anybody that could do that. So, you know, having him sit for most of the year or for the entire year was a detriment to this offense. I think he was ready to play last year. He was a guy that could have come in and helped you. You know, was one of the top tight ends in their conference when he was at Arkansas State. Was, you know, Deion Sanders warned him at Colorado, ends up at Mississippi State. I think that this is a guy ready to have a big, big season at Mississippi State this year in this offense. And this is really, it feels like a perfect fit for him with the skill set that he has at that position. I mean, he's virtually a wide receiver with what he's able to do. And, you know, I don't know if you saw his post about, you know, how fast he's running. This is a really good athlete.
Yes.
So this is a guy that Mississippi State's they needed this position, and they went out and they got some depth at that position with the Ball brothers. And, you know, you obviously have Traore who's ready to go too. I think that's going to be a totally different looking room this year than it was last year in more ways than one, not just different players, just the talent level and the ability to play that position is totally different than it was a year ago when you're moving offensive lineman to tight end, defensive lineman to tight end. This group's going to be way different this year, and Traore, I think, is going to show you, you know, kind of the guy you're looking for at that position moving forward under Lebby. I think he's a perfect fit.
Yeah, I just every time I think about him in this offense, I just see the middle of the field wide open and him just standing there with Shapen finding him play after play. You know, I really do think he's going to be a massive piece for State this year. And you mentioned the Ball brothers. I think you're right about one thing. For sure, Mississippi State went out this offseason and got some big-time talent, got a big-time upgrade, I guess I should say, at the tight end position. So those are two guys that I really like in this offense going forward, and I think are going to have big years for Mississippi State. What about you? I think you wanted to focus maybe – you had a couple offensive guys, but maybe a defensive guy or two as well.
Yeah, well, especially on the offense, when you look at the transfers, I mean, Kevin Coleman in this offense with, you know, a little more of the opportunity, I think, in this offense at his position is going to be huge for him and what he can do. I thought we saw a glimpse of that in the spring. He was outstanding at his position. And there's so many things that you can do with him. You can use him in the kick game, kick and punt return. You can put him in motion, give him the ball because he's got that kind of ability with the speed and the agility that he has. Great hands, obviously, and is a big play threat, you know, whenever. I think, you know, he's one definitely. I don't even think it's worth mentioning at this point Kelly Akari, just because I think we know what – I mean, I think we're all kind of expecting him to break out, so I won't even really delve into that. But the offensive lineman too, I mean, that's not a sexy pick when you're talking about these guys that are going to break out or whatever, but you added – you know, three or four offensive linemen out of the portal that can help you this year. You know, left tackle and McCollum Pounders is one that stands out. Ethan Miner, obviously, at center too. So I'm really excited about this offense. And on the defensive side, could we see, you know, Bingley Jones break out and be the type of player that he was expected to be coming out of high school? When he went to North Carolina, I think a lot of his issues have been, you know, injuries and just not really being able to get settled. But he's been a guy that every player on the offensive line or the defense has kind of watched the defensive line. They've all talked about him being a standout. Mm-hmm. And, I'm not trying to cover for David Turner or, hype up the defensive line to be something that it's not, but that has unmistakably been one of the guys that has constantly been brought up by these players. They've been bringing him up. So you kind of need him to be that. You kind of need him to step up and be, not like a force, but a really solid defensive lineman for you because there's just not a whole lot of options there. And then, you know, another guy that I'm really excited about is Brylan Lanier. in the defensive backfield, because I just don't think State's had a lot of guys like that since maybe Jonathan Abram. And the some of those incoming safeties have been really impressive in workouts. Brian Lanier and obviously Tyler Woodard has been a player that has drawn some attention from the staff and teammates. So you need some of these transfer defensive players to really step up for you too this year.
Bingley Jones is a very interesting one, and he's a guy who could have been on yesterday's show as well. You know, he'd been limited by injuries, but he was a big-time prospect out of high school, four-star defensive tackle, top 150 player, and, I mean, chose North Carolina over Ohio State to give you an idea of the talent level that we're talking about with him. So he is definitely a guy to keep an eye on. And then with Lanier, you know, I remember his recruitment. You know, he came into the he was a guy that everybody was like, why hasn't State, you know, why hasn't he been a bigger part of what State's doing? And you know, why haven't they been recruiting him? And then all of a sudden, it felt like out of nowhere is where he committed to Mississippi State. That nobody expected him to commit to State, and then he ended up being a Bulldog. And that secondary, there's just so much opportunity back there. I mean, that is, you know, we always talk about position battles, and we're just like, you know, sometimes you just know who's going to be the guy, right? I mean, I'm sure there's a position battle at quarterback. You know, I'm sure that if the right things were to happen to Chris Parson and the wrong things were happening to Blake Shapen, there's a path for Parson to be the starter, but probably not. But in the secondary, everything is wide open back there, and I don't like saying that, because you don't want to have a wide open secondary. No pun intended, I guess, but there's just so many opportunities there. And Lanier, you know, if he can come in and be a player for State early on. And I think Tyler Woodard is another one there. You know, we've been waiting on Tyler Woodard the past couple of years, and that way his recruitment has gone. There's just so much opportunity for them there. Coleman, to go back to the guy you brought up from the offensive side of things, Robbie, and there was so much focus on Kelly Akari when he came in, and rightfully so, big-time prospect for State. Kevin Coleman was a huge prospect out of high school. Could have gone anywhere in the country. Just elected to go to Jackson State to play with Deion and Travis Hunter, and then went to Louisville last year, was a big contributor for them. And I thought he was fantastic in the spring game. Really looked good there. So those
just got to secure the ball a little better when you're going to the
NFL. But those
are
three strong candidates there, Robbie. Those are good ones. So that's the thing about this Mississippi State team, is that there's a bunch of these guys. There's a bunch of guys that we don't know a lot about, because there's so many new faces that not only do we want them to have great years, they have to if State's going to do the things that we expect them to be able to do. So there's going to be a lot of people blossom under Jeff Lebby, and we'll see where who those players are. So,
but you got to wonder, like, what would if you didn't have the transfer portal, you know, what would this team look like next year? It'd be a total rebuild. I mean, that's the great thing about the portal, is that if these guys hit, Mississippi State could win 7 games this year.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a great season from these offensive linemen that you brought in, and, you know, Devon Booth and these wide receivers, and then on defense, you know, some of the guys you've gotten on defense, if you have, you know, if Bingley Jones and Kapaka and those guys are really good on the line. And I know Woodard and Lanier are JUCO guys, but if the transfer portal wasn't a thing for Mississippi State,
it would be tough. I mean, you know, there's two ways of looking at it. Obviously, some of the guys that left would still be on the roster, right? They couldn't leave. You'd still have a full roster.
Yeah. The guys that you're losing, you're basically getting rid of.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't lost. They've lost. You know, you didn't want to lose Ra-Ra Thomas.
Right.
And you didn't want to lose Xavion Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, this is pretty much guys that you just misevaluated or didn't develop or whatever. So.
Yeah, 100%. So a lot of new faces that have to show up for Mississippi State this year. But I think they've got an opportunity with a bunch of guys there. To get some big time players that you may or may not know very much about thus far in their college football career. All right, let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're going to be cooking out this weekend, and you should be, it's 4th of July, throw some beef on the grill. I bet Robbie's beautiful daughter Natty would love her daddy if he cooked her a hamburger, wouldn't she? Is that the case? She's saying yes right now, isn't she?
We just had a nice sandwich.
Cheeseburgers?
I do not.
You do not?
I don't like cheeseburgers.
You like hamburgers?
I like them with pickles, though.
You like them with pickles?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. Put a pickle in the hamburger, and we're good to go.
She just had the famous Falk sandwich.
I want to know more about that once we get done here. So,
she eats a sandwich every single day for lunch. A sandwich.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't do that. I try to change it up a little bit, and I definitely try to get some beef in there every now and then. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. And you are looking for it. You're looking for the smoked wings. You're looking for prime rib sandwich. We're looking for pork rind nachos, as is Brian Johnson and Angus Young right this second. They're looking for it. I'm not gonna do the impression today. I'm just telling you that's happening. And, of course, if you're looking for fancy sandwiches, you need to head over to our new friends over at the Older Brother and check them out. A restaurant that's unlike anything here in Starkville. Fantastic place to go. Sandwiches, French fries that are the best I've ever had, and just a really cool atmosphere over there. So check it out at the Older Brother. Check out Two Brothers. The next time you're in Starkville, you need to head over to the Cotton District and enjoy some great food. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it now for 49 years. So if you need technology for your business, give them a call. If you need a new copy or a new printer, new computers, new laptops, anything, give them a call. And then if you need service, you get to call that same number. Not a 1-800 number, not a call center that puts you on hold for 40 minutes, not an out-of-state technician that's going to tell you that, hey, it'll be a week to 10 days before I can get there. It's going to be somebody here in the state of Mississippi, and a lot of times they'll be able to fix your problem the exact same day. 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the game this fall, you need to go to Maroon & Co. If you're in Starkville and you need Mississippi State gear, Maroon & Co. is the place to shop. A great selection of polos, T-shirts, hats, stuff for the car, for the tailgate, for your house, whatever it is, Maroon & White, they've got it at Maroon & Co. And if you want to dress like the coaches and wear the Bulldog Initiative gear, you can only get it at Maroon & Co. Online or in-store, use the promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off all regular price items. Some exclusions do apply. The website is maroonandco.com. Before you're at the games this fall, make sure you're at Maroon & Co. This fall is football. This spring will be baseball. We got some interesting news today, Robbie, at Mississippi State. Back in not a preseason, but an early season tournament this year. We're going to be playing in Houston, Texas in the, what is it called? The Astros Foundation College Classic. What a field Mississippi State is a part of, along with the defending national champions, Texas A&M. Tennessee, the defending national runner-up, I guess I should say, Texas A&M. Arizona, Oklahoma State, those two teams, year in, year out, both hosted last year. And then Rice, obviously a program that's kind of fallen on hard times, but used to be a big-time power. And then Mississippi State. The way it's set up, State will not play any of the other SEC teams. So they will not see Texas A&M or Tennessee in this. They will kick off things on Friday at 11:05, on Friday, February 28th. Playing Rice, then Saturday, March 1st, 3:05 first pitch at playing Arizona, and then they'll finish things up on Sunday at, I think that says 2:05, against Oklahoma State. That's three big-time non-conference games being played on a neutral site. If you can get some wins there, Robbie, that's really going to help your resume next season.
Yeah, first time. You know, remember they did this, it used to be the Shriners Classic, I think. Yes. I believe it's the same thing. They did this in 2018 when they went up there. They beat Louisiana, mm-hmm. Sam Houston State, and Houston. And it felt like a big deal when that happened. And I know that team kind of struggled at the start of SEC play, but that team ended up going to the College World Series. And I think that was a big – part of the season was going up there and winning, playing those games. It's going to be a little tougher schedule. You're playing, and the Rice maybe not so much, but you're playing Arizona, who just won the Pac-12, and they're in year one in the Big 12, and then Oklahoma State, who every single season right now under Holiday is competitive. Yeah. You know, they're competing for the Big 12 championship basically every year. So I think this will be a really good challenge. And you look back at the schedule this year and you think, had they played like in something like this and replaced that instead of playing like Mount St. Mary's.
Yeah. Even the losses would have been better.
You're probably hosting.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's probably, you know, and we'll see. I mean, the roster might not even matter depending on what the roster is, but it's just good to play teams like this early in your schedule. The experience, what we've seen in the past, Mississippi State teams, when they've played tough teams in non-conference play, it's prepared them for postseason. We saw it every year that they went to the College World Series. It seems like they had some tough non-conference games that they had to get through, whether it be in a midweek or a weekend series or whatever. Even in 13, when they played Central Arkansas, they actually lost that series to Central Arkansas. That was a really good Central Arkansas team. Mm-hmm. Those weekends and those midweeks against teams like that, it prepares you. You're going to play a tough schedule in SEC play, but I really feel like you need a balanced schedule. You need to play some good teams in non-conference play too to kind of get you prepared.
I agree 100%. And I like, you've got to leave your home in the first month of the year. You have to do it. You have to play some games on the road. I'm sure State will also do the two games in Biloxi that they've done in most years. And you can't make the same mistakes that you made a season ago where you played an incredibly easy schedule and you played all of those games at home. Because you see what happened to you. If you had played better teams and you had gone on the road or gone to some neutral sites, probably hosting even with a few more losses. So I like the idea. Now, I don't know what this team's going to look like when we get there, Robbie. I don't know what this team's – I couldn't fill out a lineup card for you today. But I do like that, and I assume, you know, I'm fascinated to see what the rest of the schedule looks like as we find out. All right. Let's jump in to our SEC preview. Today we're doing the Missouri Tigers. Obviously, we just did LSU. We'll skip Ole Miss and Mississippi State and save them for the end. Missouri 10-2 a season ago, I guess 11-2, that is how they finished, beating Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl to finish up their year. Really the biggest surprise team, maybe in college football, a season ago was Missouri. Really, really good. And I think has a chance, not only because I think they're a talented team, but they have the easiest schedule in the conference. As SEC schedules go, no Georgia, no Tennessee, no Ole Miss, no Texas. They do have Alabama and Oklahoma. No LSU. I mean, this is a schedule that's designed for them to win. So let's see if they can do it, Robbie. Pretty easy start to the season. They should be 4-0 coming into the month of October. They start the year a Thursday night game with Murray State, and they host Buffalo. Then they host Boston College. Is that a host? Really, there's an at, right? Yeah, okay. They host Boston College, and then they host Vanderbilt. So four straight home games to start the year against four teams they should beat. They should be 4-0.
Yeah, I agree. It's not a very daunting schedule in the front end.
Yeah. They take off the last weekend of September, and then they have their first real test on October 5th when they'll travel to Texas A&M. And this is the game that if they win it, Robbie, they should be 7-0 when they play Alabama. But if they lose it, they might be 6-1. This is the game that, for me, if they're going to be a playoff team, they have to win this game. They need to beat Texas A&M. I have them winning it. I have them getting the win over the Aggies, even though it's on the road.
I'm going to go with A&M here.
Okay.
I think they're going to be a better coached football team this year with Elko, and they're still really talented. That team was talented last year. They just I thought that Jimbo Fisher just made things way too complicated. I think this is going to be a sneaky A&M team, and this is coming from a person that's never high on them. I'm just really high on Elko. I think he's going to be a good coach. Right. So I'm going to go with A&M here.
Okay. So I've got them 5-0. You've got them 4-1. They're actually at UMass next. They do. That's not a neutral site game like State played in Foxborough. They are on the Amherst campus playing Massachusetts.
This non-conference schedule.
Weird. They'll win it. And then they host Auburn on the 19th. That should be a huge game. Should be a lot of fun. I will take I'll take the Tigers to win. I think the Missouri Tigers to win.
Yeah, I think so too. I just don't have any faith in Auburn.
Mm-hmm. And then they have that big game in Tuscaloosa. So I've got them 7-0 playing Alabama. What do I have Alabama at that point? I have Alabama 1, 2, 3, 4.
You're keeping Alabama up with these, correct?
5-2. So it's kind of a situation. If I'm right, Missouri might come in like fifth or sixth in the country to play the number 12 or 13 Alabama team. What a weird world we live in.
Boy, if Bama's 5-2 at that point,
mm-hmm.
that's not going to be a happy fan base.
Well, that's what we both have them as. I'll just go ahead and tell you.
Not going to be a happy fan base, I'm telling you.
That said, I have Alabama winning that game.
Yeah, in Tuscaloosa, I think so too.
All right. Off week. Then the other kind of big swing game of their season, they host Oklahoma. Now, you're going to find out next week because that's who we're previewing. I'm not super high on Oklahoma, but I feel like the Sooners are going to get this one done. I've got Oklahoma winning this game.
Yeah, I'm not super high on Oklahoma either, I don't think. You know, the one thing that you've been able to say about them the last 2 years is their offense was really good, and Jeff Lebby's gone. And so is Dylan Gabriel. So, I don't know. At Columbia,
mm-hmm.
interesting. I guess I might go Oklahoma as well.
Okay. So, I've got them 7-2.
I still have that bias towards Missouri, like in the back of my head, that they're just not very good.
Yeah, I know.
I'm waiting for things to unravel for them.
Yeah. All right. Well, you've got them 6-3, and I've got them 7-2. I have them finishing the season on a 3-game winning streak. They're at South Carolina, at Mississippi State, and then they host Arkansas. I think the Tigers get all three of those games.
Have no faith in State winning that game?
It's July 1st. As we sit here on July 1st, I think Missouri wins. Will I change my mind when we get there? I might. I got to see how these teams play.
Okay.
So, I would say of those three games, the most likely loss is Mississippi State.
Yeah.
So,
South Carolina is always tricky because of that atmosphere, but I just don't like their roster. Like their quarterback situation.
No. Yeah, like I just don't know enough about Sellers, and they just don't have a lot of talent, in my opinion. Yeah, I agree. So here's my question, Robbie, if I'm right. You've got them 9-3. They're not going to the playoff at 9-3. I have them 10-2, but they lost the two games that everybody's got circled, right? Alabama and Oklahoma. Are they still in the playoff at 10-2 with those two losses, or is it going to be a situation where they say, yeah, but who did they beat?
It depends on who else in the SEC is up for it.
Yeah.
Like, I could see the committee saying we're not putting – how many would that be? Five, possibly, teams in there?
I mean, you got to figure –
I could see the committee saying we're not putting five in.
Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss, and then Alabama or Tennessee, and then to Missouri. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's somebody's going to be odd man out there. But it's going to get to the point in this stuff. It's just like baseball. You're not going to have a choice. Like you're going to have mostly SEC teams in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the College World Series in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have a hard time maneuvering teams around to where there won't be six SEC teams in it.
There were five this year, and next year could very easily be six.
Yes. So it's going to be more and more difficult. The SEC is gobbling up the competition.
When you look at next year in the SEC for baseball, just get off topic here a little bit, but I mean, Oklahoma and Texas were both tournament teams this past year. And Auburn, as bad as they were, you know that Butch Thompson and that program will probably bounce back, right? You have a real shot of 15 teams being in the NCAA tournament next year.
I mean, you're about to have 14. 15.
I don't think Ole Miss will be in, and Missouri's probably not in. So 14, well, that means you got to have
four. Maybe not state, depending on the roster.
Maybe not state, but let's give the benefit of the doubt. But, I mean, that means you're going to have, because you can't, you know, you don't want to put an SEC team in with another SEC team. 14 of the 16 regionals are going to have one SEC team in them, and probably seven of them will be hosts. I mean,
well, the softball thing too. I mean, you're about to have 15 softball teams.
They will all be
in just about every year. You're going to have 15.
Yeah.
But that's what people haven't talked about, the dominance in the SEC in softball. It hasn't translated in championships, but it will now because you just added the best softball program in the country. And then Texas is really good too.
Yeah.
You're about to own basically every sport. Maybe not like soccer.
Yeah. Men's basketball is one where there still be outside contenders.
Yeah.
But but the rest of them, the SEC
is. But shoot, like how long is that going to last? Because the level of coach that has been added to the SEC recently,
the preseason number
plus
one
the
team,
money.
Preseason number one team is likely to be Alabama.
Yeah.
Because Sears did come back, right?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure he returned. So, yeah, I mean, that team is loaded.
So, I mean, you look at the coaches, like the power is shifting as far as leadership. I mean, you have Barnes, Bruce Pearl. You have, you know, I think Chris Jans is a really good coach. Chris Beard. Who else?
Golden got Florida back into the tournament.
Oates, obviously. Golden is doing a really good job.
Yeah.
I think.
And, I mean, Lamont Paris was the SEC coach of the year this year.
Yeah. So. McMahon is a really good coach. I feel like eventually he's going to break through.
This is his year to either. He turns it around or they had to figure something out. It's interesting that the two new men's basketball coaches are two of the weaker ones, Rodney Terry and Porter Moser. Porter Moser had that great run with La Loyola Chicago. I haven't said that word on this show that I used to struggle with.
I used to struggle with it so much.
But, I mean, he had that great run with them when they went to the Final Four with Sister Jean and all that. But, I mean, he's not been great at Oklahoma. And then Rodney Terry at Texas has not been great since he took over for Beard. But, yeah, it's us. All right, so Missouri, I say 10-2. Robbie says 9-3. Let's talk Oklahoma next week, our first real look at the Sooners and what we think of them. Spoiler alert, I'm not super high. I'll just go ahead and let you know. All right. Yeah. Tomorrow's show is the Rumblings. Get the questions in. Robbie, if you'll send off the tweet, we'll start getting those in. And we'll have plenty to talk about. Just go ahead and let you guys know, no Friday podcast this week. Robbie and I will enjoy the 4th of July with our families and not worry about Mississippi State sports. If anything weird happens and news breaks, we'll do something. But assuming it's a nice, quiet 4th of July as far as sports news, no podcast for you guys on Friday. All right, have a great one, guys. Talk to you again soon. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
See you now.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.